You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Each and every Tuesday here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, it is the state of the program or even the state of the conference. Right now is a sad state of affairs in the Big Ten as we look at what the Big Ten has done or has not done well in the NCAA tournament. So hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Tuesday, March 23rd, and joining us on today's episode from The Jump, it is Brandon Simberg. He is a men's basketball beat writer for the Daily Illini. On campus in Champaign, Illinois, has covered the Illinois Fighting Illini all year. They seem to be the Big Ten's best shot at winning a national championship, but getting bounced from the round of 32 by their in-state foes, Loyola Chicago, on Sunday. We will also hear a little bit of my conversation with the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, Andrew Wade, after Iowa got bounced on Monday from the round of 32 by Oregon. If you can't tell, it hasn't been a great 72 hours for the Big Ten Conference, but it is great anytime I get to speak to Brandon Simberg. So, Brandon, thank you for coming back on the podcast.
Yeah, Ben, thanks for having me. I know this has been a rough few days for the Big Ten, so I'm glad I could uplift your mood. And hey, as a Syracuse grad, you know, the Orange look great right now. They're in the Sweet 16. Jim Boeheim is a double-digit seed, man. That guy works wonders, so.
There's something about that 2-3 zone. Maybe I'll try to reach out to some Big Ten coaches and get that implemented a little bit more throughout the next Big Ten basketball season. But as we focus on the end of this one, we go to Illinois and Loyola on Sunday. Round of 32 matchup. A lot of people can make the argument it shouldn't have been a round of 32 matchup. Loyola, very undervalued on that 8-seed line. But Brandon, I have to ask you, what went wrong for Illinois against the Ramblers this Sunday?
Yeah, I think it was the culmination of just everything going wrong for Illinois, and that's a broad statement, but I mean, they've been able, even when Io DeSumo has had off games, they've been able to kind of overcome that because of Trent Frazier stepping up or Demonte Williams or Andre Curbelo. And yeah, I mean, Loyola's defense against Io was fantastic. I hadn't really seen anything like it where they would just trap him on all ball screens or make sure he wouldn't use the ball screens and really take him to his left hand, which I know he's been more right hand dominant, but his inability to go left as well as he can go right was really brought out in the matchup. And then Frazier just didn't bring it. He was 1-for-10 from the field, 0-for-5 from three. Demonte Williams, also not his best game, 21 minutes, 0-for-3 from the field. So to have a 1-of-13 shooting day from your two combined seniors it's tough. And then paired with Io DeSumo having just 9 points and 6 turnovers, it's almost impossible to overcome. And as a result, Loyola was beating them for 40 minutes. Illinois didn't lead for a second. They led from wire to wire. So that's what happens when your stars and your role guys don't really show up.
The Fighting Illini entered Sunday's game winning 15 of their last 16 games, of course, in the March Madness tournament. One loss and you are done. So Illinois' season over. And a lot was made on Sunday about the coaching matchup between Porter Moser of Loyola Chicago and Brad Underwood, of course, of Illinois. Who do you think had the edge and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think Porter Moser, I'm not saying he's a better coach right now, but in that game on Sunday, he did a much better job. You know, he looked at the matchup and said, Kofi Coburn's a guy with slower feet and can defend around the rim, but they put him in so many actions on the perimeter. They had Cameron Krutwig, the big man who Kofi was guarding. They had him as the primary ball handler a lot of times, and he would do a lot of dribble handoffs and then screen, kind of causing Coburn to like pick between the two guys, and Loyola's guards were quick enough to get past Coburn or Coburn would commit to the guard, and then Krutwig was open. So I thought Moser did a really good job with mixing it up and mixing up the actions to kind of get his guys looks. And, you know, Illinois, their base offense all year has been like a high ball screen between Io and Kofi. And like, it seems simple, but when you have one of the best guards in the country and one of the best lob threats and roll threats in Kofi Coburn, it's hard to stop. But again, the Ramblers took them out of their actions, trapped DeSumo, made sure he couldn't get into the ball screens, pressured the ball handlers. And I think that came down to game plan and coaching. You know, I thought Underwood did a really good job this year, but I think he was just outmatched by another really good coach in Porter Moser on Sunday.
You saw Cam Krutwig and his ability to hedge those ball screens. It confused Io DeSumo at times. So you mentioned that Porter Moser had the advantage over Brad Underwood on Sunday. If you were in Brad Underwood's shoes or on his staff, what adjustments would you have made at the halftime or in that second half to try to free up Illinois a little bit?
Yeah, it's tough to say because I don't know what kind of plays they have in their repertoire, but maybe instead of putting Dosunmu on the ball, you have Andre Curbelo on the ball and put Dosunmu off the ball, get him in some, like, you know, off ball screens, some pin downs, some actions where he's kind of going towards his right. So you can get him going that way. I feel like a lot of times when Dosunmu caught the ball, it was just kind of catch and stand or just dribble it up. So I don't think they did a ton to kind of get him going or get him in rhythm. And you know, they have other capable ball handlers in Andre Curbelo. And then Adam Miller had a really good game too, and they didn't really seem to go to him as much as I thought they could have. You know, he took just 6 shots, but he was an effective 4 for 6 in 26 minutes. So I think maybe recognizing that Miller was the hot hand and the guy to go to could have been effective.
Kofi Coburn also had 21 points. He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. You look at the box score and you say that was a good game, but he was trapped relentlessly when he was in the post and had a hard time defensively guarding Cam Krutwig. You mentioned Io Dosunmu, 9 points, 6 turnovers, no free throws even attempted out of Illinois star guard. And what was likely his last game in an Illinois Fighting Illini jersey, what do you think didn't work for Io on Sunday against Loyola Chicago?
I just think they hadn't seen a defense that good all season. I mean, Loyola is now up to number – Loyola's back to number 1 on defensive KenPom. They just hadn't seen a defense like that all season. And the way they trapped and the way they pressured. And it wasn't that they were overly long or overly fast. So they've seen athletic teams like a Baylor or a long team like a Michigan. It was the fact that they were so sound in their defensive rotations. I mean, it felt like Loyola was playing with 6 defenders in that first half. It literally felt like they had an extra guy because even trapping Io, which should lead to a 4-on-3, they recovered perfectly. So I just don't think they'd seen a defense that fundamentally sound and just so condensed. It was really impressive what Loyola did. I give them a lot of credit.
And I'm very cognizant of the fact that Brandon Simberg does not have all the answers, yet he is one of the brightest basketball minds that I have spoken to in the Big Ten Conference. So I pose these questions to him. He's obviously not inside Illinois' huddle. He doesn't know what exactly went wrong for the Illini on Sunday, but he is a very smart man, and that's why we ask him these questions, and we appreciate his time and his answers. So when we look bigger picture, Illinois finishes off the year getting eliminated in the round of 32. This was a special group who had their sights set on making a run to the national championship, trying to cut down the nets on April 5th. How do you think Illinois fans should remember this season for the Illini?
That's a tough question because ultimately, you know, they didn't – I know there's controversy over it, but they weren't awarded the Big Ten regular season championship, which – it's kind of a disappointment. They did win the Big Ten tournament championship, so that is like something to hang your hat on, some kind of hardware. But yeah, like you said, you know, this Illinois team had hopes and aspirations and 2 All-Americans, and they haven't been to a Sweet 16 since 2005. And they felt like this was kind of the year to break through. And so I think the fan base has a right to feel disappointed and just upset about what happened, because you look at their bracket now, and I'm not saying like Oregon State or Houston or Syracuse aren't capable teams, but the bracket, the region kind of cleared up for them to make a real run. And it's just like, if we only made, you know, if we only hit a few more shots, like it's definitely disappointing considering they hadn't been in that position before. Now, I will say this isn't like 2013 where they're going to go on another 8-year tournament drought. Brad Underwood has the program going in the right direction, and I fully expect them to be back in the tournament next season and for many seasons to come. But it's so hard to stumble into 2 All-Americans on the same team, kind of both in their primes. Like, I don't know when they can get back to a Final Four. This felt like their shot. So I think long-term and compared to where Illinois has been in the past few years, Illinois fans should be happy with where the program's at and happy that they were so competitive all year and in the national spotlight and able to talk some trash to some other Big Ten teams. But definitely over the next few weeks, as you see other teams advance in March Madness, that Illinois was probably better than during the regular season, I think the Illini fans are going to be a bit upset.
When the Big Ten has struggled as much as they have in this big dance, one thing that can make me happy, I get to sing in just a couple of seconds. And that, of course, is the rockauto.com jingle. But one thing that can make you equally as happy is the convenient self-service you can receive at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And when you're there, you will find everything that you could possibly need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Listen, folks, we have to face it. We might have some more free time than we expected to at the end of this month of March, not having to watch Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, we're going to watch March Madness. We're going to love every second of it. But you might have a couple more minutes in your day to make some repairs you need to make on your car. And you can get everything you need delivered to you in a few easy clicks at rockauto.com. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And make sure to write Locked On, that's L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N, L-O-C-K-E-D space O-N, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Here we go. Some joy, some much-needed joy on the horizon. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. That did make me feel better. Thanks so much, rockauto.com. On this sad state of the program, sad state of affairs episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, it's a little bit of sadness right now, recapping a tough time for the Big Ten Conference in the NCAA tournament. If you want to hear happier things and get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, you can do that with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. Brandon Simberg is not only a bright Illinois basketball mind, but a bright mind in the Big Ten Conference in general. Some of his thoughts on what has not gone all that well for the Big Ten and if things need to be changed throughout the conference. A little bit of a promise unfulfilled, if you will. And the Midwest region was a gauntlet of a region. The top four seeds, all very strong for Illinois to draw Loyola Chicago in the round of 32. You can make your arguments there, and I think they are sound. At a certain point, though, you do need to beat the best teams on your deep run in March to get to a national championship game. Maybe it shouldn't have happened in the round of 32, but they were going to have to beat a Loyola Chicago or even better team than that to make a run to the national championship game. Loyola Chicago, by the way, just looked like the better team, not just pulled off a good upset and a good opportunity on Sunday afternoon, but the better team over the Illini on Sunday. So Brandon Simberg, a men's basketball beat reporter for the Daily Illini in Champaign, Illinois, not only covers Illinois basketball great, but the Big Ten in general. As I mentioned at the top of this show, it is a sad state of the program on this Locked On Big Ten podcast because the Big Ten has struggled. Now 6-7 in the NCAA tournament as it stands at the moment. Brandon and I recording based on some scheduling issues prior to Michigan and Maryland playing in the round of 32 on Monday night. There is a chance, Brandon, as we sit here, the Big Ten might not have a team playing the Sweet 16. I never thought I would utter those words. I didn't think I would be able to say that about getting to the Final Four. What have you made of the Big Ten struggles in the Big Dance so far?
I think it's a really deep-rooted issue. When I watch the Big Ten games compared to, you know, I watch a lot of Pac-12 because it's up late at night and I have a sleeping problem. I really like the Big 12 this year. Watching a Big Ten game and then watching a Big Ten game, a Big Ten team in the tournament, the games are officiated so differently. Like, I really think it starts in league play. I think they call too many whistles. I think it's too, like, they have to let these guys play because then you get to the tournament and the game's much more free flowing. You know, I was sitting behind the Illinois parent fan section yesterday and they wanted a lot of foul calls. And like, I think in a Big Ten game, a lot of those are foul calls, but when you get to the tournament, the games are officiated so differently. I really think the Big Ten has an institutional problem where their games are super choppy and don't have a ton of flow in the regular season, and that hurts you in the postseason. I was admittedly lower on the Big Ten coming into this year. I thought the metrics, I overrated them a tad. I liked a lot of other teams. I didn't have any Big Ten teams in my Elite Eight, honestly. Like, I was low on the league coming into this tournament. I didn't like a lot of the matchups. That being said, I definitely had a few in the Sweet 16. So I'm definitely surprised by this result, but I really think that it's a combination of some bad matchups, you know, Loyola for Illinois, Oregon for Iowa, who I thought was vastly underseeded. That team was 20-6 and 11-3 with their point guard. You know, you talk about Michigan losing Isaiah Livers, but I really think they need to fix some of these issues in Big Ten play. Let those guys play more. Let them get used to free-flowing basketball because that's what you see in the tournament.
I completely agree with you. I think the conversation needs to be had about where does the Big Ten stand right now? They beat up on each other each and every season. It's high quality basketball that's reflected in the metrics, and it starts a national conversation about how good this conference is. And rightfully so. It's not to be knocked when you are seeing a top 10 matchup in the middle of January between Iowa and Illinois. That is fantastic stuff, and we do not take that for granted. That being said, though, There's a reason the Big Ten has not won a national championship in 21 years. It's not just coincidence at a certain point. There has to be a reasoning for it. And I think we joke often throughout the season. There's a dialogue among the Big Ten faithful that watch every Big Ten basketball game about officiating, making jokes about Bo Borowski at his expense. But there is some credence to those jokes. There is fact behind the humor. And I think we are seeing that, unfortunately, rear its ugly head here in the NCAA tournament. Brandon Simberg, not only with incredible information about Illinois and how their season played out, but the Big Ten in general, and the point he just made there about officiating, about game flow in the Big Ten Conference, needs to be heard and needs to be taken care of, hopefully, as the Big Ten goes moving forward. Brandon Simberg, a men's basketball beat reporter for the Daily Illini on campus in Champaign, Illinois, giving you the good stuff on this sad state of affairs on the State of the Program episode here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Appreciate your time, Brandon. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Illinois season over. It's a bummer. I'm going to miss talking to you so frequently.
We'll get you back. We'll get you back pretty soon. Okay. Maybe freshen up on your football knowledge, too. We'll look ahead to the spring as well.
Okay, that's an incentive to fresh up my football knowledge. So there we go.
And now for the second guest of this sad state of the program, sad state of affairs in the Big Ten Conference, a team that was knocked out in the round of 32, the number 2 seed in the West region, the Iowa Hawkeyes. Joining us now, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, Andrew Wade, in our discussion from his podcast, Locked On Hawkeyes. I was very high on a lot of these teams. I had Iowa to make the Elite Eight, probably losing to Gonzaga. I had Illinois and have said on record multiple times winning the national championship. I don't know if that was going to happen, but I expected better than this. To have a chance, they're not going to be a team get out of the first weekend. I mean, yeah. Goodness.
I mean, goodness. 4 days ago, we were talking about, could there be an all Big Ten Final Four? That was 4 days ago. Now we're wondering, will the Big Ten make it out of the round of 32? And I'll be honest, Iowa, I didn't, out of all their matchups, I actually felt like Oregon was probably their worst matchup because of what Oregon brings to the table. Size-wise, yeah, Luka was going to get his, and he did, and he dominated throughout this game. But where Oregon lacks in height, they make up for in size, or sorry, length and athleticism. And it showed in this game. They absolutely dominated Iowa. Iowa couldn't do anything defensively. It was frustrating. When I look at, and then I look at the other piece too, Oregon was so good offensively, but Iowa couldn't hit any shots. So when you look at what Iowa did, Luka Garza and Joey's Camp combined for most of Iowa's scoring output. Luka Garza and Joey's Camp, 6 of 12 from 3 for 50%. The rest of the team, 2 of 13 for 15. Luka Garza and Joey's Camp, 21 of 37 from the field, 57%. The rest of the team, 10 of 31 for 33%. Man, Oregon had a great game plan, and they executed it perfectly. And I really felt like, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Luka Garza was not getting the ball very easily as an entry pass. I mean, Oregon was on top of him. And despite having that size differential, they did a great job of guarding him. Is that what you saw as well?
They have great athleticism. Eugene Oberui is only 6'6". Will Richardson, their point guard, he's actually not a small point guard. Who's the other guy I'm thinking of? Eric Williams. That's the other guy.
Yeah.
Who's their other forward? Also 6'6". But they converged. They had the game plan. They knew if that ball was going to get inside of Luka Garza, as it should for Fran McCaffrey's team, that they were going to swarm and make it difficult. The tough thing for Luka was, especially in that second half, based on the rotations that Fran had to play to get some sort of defense out there, he didn't have the usual cast and characters to be able to knock down threes. Jordan Bohannon wasn't out there much in the second half because he was a defensive liability. Connor McCaffrey wasn't out there much in the second half to be able to facilitate. CJ Frederick had a very bad game on the defensive side. So the guys that were playing with Luka outside of Joe Wieskamp were Patrick McCaffrey and Joe Toussaint and Tony Perkins. And they're not knockdown shooters. So that made everything that much more difficult. So for Luka Garza to still finish with 36 points on 20 shots shows how efficient he is. And again, it's a sad culmination to his career in an Iowa jersey, but shows just how talented and a special talent he was. And we appreciate his time throughout his years at the University of Iowa, but a very difficult matchup for Luka because of the fact Oregon could focus their defense on him and he didn't have the normal outlets to be able to knock down threes to really space out the offensive scheme. Oregon didn't really have to respect the shot of Joe Toussaint or Tony Perkins.
And that's the issue with Iowa. We've seen that in other games this season. Indiana is a great example of this. Iowa couldn't hit the broadside of a freaking barn. And what they did was like, we're going to triple team Luka every time. Then if you're not going to hit your shots, we don't respect you driving the ball to the basket. And Oregon, you know, credit to them, they had a great defensive game plan, right? I mean, they were like, we're going to force you to make shots, but we're also going to get to you too. We're going to contest those 3-point shots. Regardless, no one could hit anything. Jordan Bohannon, 0 of 2 from behind the perimeter. CJ Frederick, 0 of 2. Keegan Murray, 1 of 5. Keegan's going to be a phenomenal player in the Big Ten for years to come, but he had a terrible day shooting the ball. He just couldn't hit anything. Patrick McCaffrey, 0 of 2. I don't really like Patrick's shot typically, but he's about a 30 to 33% shooter. You expect him to hit one of those. Tony Perkins, the only guy to hit a three outside of Joe Wieskamp and Luka Garza.
So now on this Tuesday, we have a small break from the NCAA tournament. The round of 32 is done. The Sweet 16 is on the horizon this upcoming Saturday and Sunday, and then the Elite Eight on a Monday and Tuesday. So the NCAA tournament action does not stop. Maybe some Big Ten teams, not a huge part of it like we once hoped or thought they might be, but still, we love the madness and we love it in this month of March. And when we want to bet on it and we want to win some money, the best place to do that is betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Betonline.ag has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Locked on for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Here's a tip for you. Take Syracuse to beat Houston outright on the money line. That's what I love for the final game of the Saturday Sweet 16 action we have coming up in just 4 or 5 days from now. It is absolutely great. Syracuse's zone can confuse Houston. There is my tip for you. Not a Big Ten tip, but a tip nonetheless on how to win some money in the NCAA tournament. And again, the only place to do that at betonline.ag. So again, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. You know what? Who needs the NCAA tournament? Just kidding. I do. I love it. But there's also another great tournament going on right now, also filled with madness. It is Built Bar Madness. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on each and every one of their bars. Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best in the Built Bar Bracket Madness. Today's matchup in this round of the Sweetest 16, I believe it is as such. A great matchup on this Tuesday. Chocolate Brownie Chunk, taking on Lemon Almond Cheesecake. Also, Chocolate Brownie Chunk is one of my favorite flavors. It's one of their newest flavors, and it is delicious. It's truly like having dessert every time I have it. I'm not the biggest fan of cheesecake, but Built Bar does it right. The Lemon Almond Cheesecake is also great, but I think if I have to give a vote here of who moves on to the enticing eight, I'm going to give it to Chocolate Brownie Chunk. But if you disagree with me and you want to vote for your favorite flavor to move on, you can do that at BuiltBar.com or at Bar_Built on Twitter. And when you go to BuiltBar.com, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup. Is it Chocolate Brownie Chunk? Is it Lemon Almond Cheesecake? You can decide at BuiltBar.com to know who will become the best tasting protein bar. For the time being, it's still an NCAA tournament-focused podcast, and the NFL draft, though, is only weeks away. So after the big dance, we focus on the NFL draft. It's time to start following our Locked On NFL Draft duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. They have everything you need between the pair of those two podcasts. Incredible NFL draft information across the Locked On podcast network. So follow Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. We continue our conversation with the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, Andrew Wade, looking back on the legacy of Luka Garza and what he has meant to the Big Ten Conference and the Iowa basketball program, and some finishing thoughts on this season for the Iowa Hawkeyes on the sad state of the programs on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. I have been very high on this Oregon team. I watch a lot of what Dana Altman does, going back to my days working in Omaha, Nebraska, when he was the former head coach at Creighton. Obviously was out in Oregon, but he is a Wilbur, Nebraska native. He's a name around Omaha a lot of people know. And I've been very impressed by what he's done with his Oregon teams in the NCAA tournament. He has that team again this year. And Will Richardson, their very talented point guard, missed the first month and a half, 2 months of the season with a broken thumb. When he came back in early February, Oregon ended their final 12 regular season games 10-2. You see that a lot in the NCAA tournament, where you see a team that might be slotted where it is on the seed line based on their overall resume, but you look at how they're playing heading into the NCAA tournament, it can be a completely different team. I think that's the case with this Oregon team, that at full strength, with this athleticism, with this potential on offense, really more like a 4 or 5 seed. So a tough draw for Iowa in this spot, obviously, but still, you need to beat good teams to get to where you want to go to make a deep run in March. So you're not really going to hear too many excuses that way. But Oregon, a very good team. I thought it would present a tough matchup for Iowa. I thought Luka Garza could take advantage of it down low, and he did. But I also knew that Jordan Bohannon and CJ Frederick and Joe Wieskamp were going to have to knock down their threes. And when two of those three guys only played 19 and 13 minutes respectively. That's not a makeup for success for Iowa.
Not at all. I mean, they combined for 0 points. You're not going to win a game when three of your starters combine for 0 points. I don't care who the hell you are and who you have as the other two guys. Iowa has two potential NBA players, but you need to hit a few shots. And I think you look at Bo Borowski was the ref, right? In a close game, maybe you blame it on Bo because he sucks and that's an easy thing to do. Iowa lost this game. Oregon had a fantastic game plan. They executed perfectly. They got out in transition. They were outrunning Iowa, and Iowa couldn't hit their shots. If Iowa hits their shots, maybe it's a different game. If they hit it at 40% clip, they make four extra threes, bam, 95 to 80. They're already in that game. I mean, that's the yep. – and there were plenty of open looks there. So Iowa had an opportunity, unable to convert. I thought this was a bad matchup for Iowa out of all the matchups they possibly had. Do you think – or I mean, I don't want to be biased now to seeing what Oregon just did to Iowa, because Iowa is probably one of the less athletic teams in the tournament as far as what they handle compared to Oregon. But is Oregon a Final Four contender now? I mean, they could do this to Gonzaga too.
Oh, I think so. I think Oregon's going to be in the Elite Eight. I think it's going to be Gonzaga and Oregon facing off for that spot in the Final Four out of the West Region. The West Region, other than Oregon and Iowa and Gonzaga, I think is a little bit down. You have USC and Kansas later on Monday night to see who gets to the Sweet 16, who will match up against the Oregon Ducks. But I think it's a very favorable bracket for Gonzaga. And I think you could use that conversely. We talked about it before the tournament for Iowa as well to get to an Elite Eight. You can say the same thing about this Oregon team, that if they play at this level today that we saw on Monday against Iowa, they can compete with Gonzaga. They are that good and they have that much depth across the rotation.
I do think the Big Ten is as strong as we thought it was, which I think is kind of a hot take considering how bad they're doing. But I think they just had some bad matchups and bad performance. Purdue has been known to do what they did. Iowa has gone cold five times this season, and they got blown out in those five games. Illinois is lackadaisical as hell against teams that they're not respecting and appreciating sometimes, and they cost them the game. So, I mean, we've seen this with some of these teams, some of these concerns, but you just don't expect them to all come out the exact same weekend, the first weekend of March Madness. You talked about the future. I want to get to Luka Garza and then Joe Wieskamp, and we can close out the show. Luka Garza, again, a phenomenal performance. Watching him come off the court, I think, elicited – a ton of emotions. You could see his dad recording it. You could see Luka starting to realize what was happening. And I think the thing that got me was him just breaking down into Fran McCaffrey's shoulders. Just I think if he could have, Luka would have stayed there for about 30 minutes, left Fran just hugging him. Cause I mean, it just sucks, man. It just sucks so freaking bad. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah. Just so sad, honestly. Like, it was very hard to see him cry as much as he did, because it's the finality of the moment. We all knew this was coming at some form or fashion in this month of March, maybe even early April. Luka Garza was going to play his last game for the Iowa Hawkeyes, but the finality of the moment to go out as it did was just so difficult to watch, and to know and to have an appreciation of watching Luka Garza play these past years in the Big Ten Conference, to be a two-time Big Ten Player of the Year, and then to know that that guy would no longer be suiting up in the league that we love so much, it is very, very difficult. But he will leave, obviously, scoring 2,306 career points, the all-time leading scorer in Iowa basketball history. Number 55 will hang up in the rafters of Carver Hawkeye Arena for a very, very long time. And as our good friend Jarek Andreski, who has been on your show multiple times, my show as well, he had a great quote from Luka after the game in his post-game press conference. I love the University of Iowa. These guys changed my life. I worked as hard as I could. It hurts that it's over. For me, it's added motivation to do great things in the future. That goes to show you and speaks to the guy that Luka Garza is, always thinking about that next step and what this time in Iowa City meant to him. So very sad to see a moment that is why we love college athletics in a way, though, because you know how much being an Iowa Hawkeye meant to Luka Garza. You could see it when he hugs Fran on the sideline, but the finality of the moment, difficult for any fan of college basketball, not just in the Big Ten, not just of Iowa, but knowing Luka Garza's place in the history of this great sport.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that's perfectly said. So I have literally nothing to add. It just sucks.
So many thanks to both of my guests on today's show. The Daily Illini's Brandon Simberg talking all things Illinois and the disappointing end to the season for the Illini. And also Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, talking the disappointing result at the end of the season for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And folks, then there was one, just one team Just one of the nine Big Ten teams that earned a bid to this year's 2021 Big Dance is still left dancing. And that would be the number one seed in the East region, the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan moving past LSU Monday night, 86-78 over the LSU Tigers. They are still dancing. Maryland falling to Alabama by a large margin. Bama scoring in the 90s. Maryland not having enough offensively to keep up with the Crimson Tide. As I discussed with Brandon Simberg, yes, I was very high on the Big Ten Conference all season long. I had four Big Ten teams in the Elite Eight, two Big Ten teams in my bracket making the Final Four, and one Big Ten team being the final team still alive in college basketball, cutting down the nets on April 5th, 2021, that being the Illinois Fighting Illini. So yes, I was high on this conference and have been all year long. I have watched each and every game throughout a Big Ten regular season pretty much, and I don't blame myself for being high on where this conference stands. You look at those games, you see how glorious they are on a night-in, night-out basis throughout the regular season. Yet, right now, only one Big Ten team reached the Sweet 16. So yes, I was high on this conference. Did I expect all of that to happen? Maybe not. There's a shot in the NCAA tournament that on any given night, your team who has performed so well all year long doesn't reach their best on that night and they are knocked out. But did I expect it to be this bad? That only one team would get out of the first weekend from the Big Ten Conference? Absolutely not. Could some have fallen along the way in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight? Absolutely. Could we only have one reach the Final Four? Sure. But just to have one team make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament out of a crop of nine that entered the Big Dance, that is a very sad state of affairs. However, all of the Big Ten's confidence, all of our hopes in the Michigan Wolverines, the number one seed in the East region, draws the number four seed in the East region, the Florida State Seminoles, in the Sweet 16 on Sunday. We will have previews of that game leading up to the round of 16 and continue on here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, because as long as there is still hope and Michigan provides that hope, we will be talking about the Big Ten and the Big Dance. Coming up on tomorrow's episode, another reaction to how this all first weekend played out with our guy, the managing editor of Saturday Tradition, Dustin Schutte, who gives you his take on why the Big Ten struggled so mightily here in the Big Dance. So until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Tuesday.